1103.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Good morning, members. I have before you today a bill that you've seen last year about electronic prescribing. We as a legislature have taken steps to address the opioid crisis as a state. In 2009, to combat pill mills and reduce drug diversion, we passed legislation that requires all prescriptions to be written on counterfeit-proof prescription pads. However, written prescriptions can still be altered, and prescription pads may be lost or stolen, allowing people to use them illegally. Electronic prescribing is a way to combat this issue. With e-prescribing, a prescriber directly transmits a prescription to a pharmacy electronically. Since the prescription is sent directly to the pharmacy, the likelihood of prescription being altered or a prescription pad used illegally is reduced. Many providers already e-prescribe medications, and the current rate is more than 75%. At least 15 other states require e-prescribing in some manner, and e-prescribing will also be required for all controlled substances under Medicare Part D starting January 1st, 2021. Last year, this body enacted legislation that requires healthcare practitioners who use an electronic health record system to electronically generate and transmit all prescriptions by July 1st, 2021, unless an exemption applies. This bill requires that this is done by July 1st, 2021, and the rest of the bill reorganizes the section of law that addresses prescribing and makes conforming changes. Well, I guess that doesn't do that yet, but it will with my amendment.
Okay, well, we'll take some questions on the bill at this point. Members, do we have any questions on the bill? You're recognized, Representative Brown.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Quick question. We just sort of passed this particular bill or a bill relating to this particular issue just several months back where we put in certain exemptions. But just based off of it, first off, not being the exact time as to when they start, which will be 2021, why are we so soon taking out of the exemptions that we had just put in months ago? Can you kind of explain that?
You recognize?
Thank you, Madam Chair. And we're still leaving an exemption in there for when there's an electrical or technological failure. But I personally believe that there's too many exemptions, and I think that everyone should be getting on board here. So I wanted to come again and try and do this full force and get everyone on electronic prescribing.
Representative Stark, you're recognized for a question.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So will there be any other exemptions other than if there's an electronic issue in a prescription?
You are recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. That is not outlined in my bill. I believe that with the feds already coming down with this requirement in 2021, I think it makes sense for us as a state to have uniformity across the state when it comes to prescriptions and not having it be mandatory for some and not mandatory for others. So I think it would really help our physicians know what their requirements are and help them all and help the patients have the ease in transaction.
Yes, one more.
Follow up. Absolutely. You recognize.
Thank you. Is there a following, in other words, with this bill, is it like following something that's exists within Medicare or federal law? I mean, is that one of the reasons we're doing this, or are there not apples to apples?
You recognize.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yeah, Medicare Part D will be mandating electronic prescriptions for controlled substances starting July 1st, 2021.
Do you have another question?
Yes, Madam Chair. Yeah, no, just you said controlled substances. So is it only controlled substances? I mean, that's, there's other things, but I mean, I can understand controlled substances, but that means that there still are, we're still not exactly mirroring the federal law then, correct?
You recognize.
Correct. We are going a step further than the federal law.
Representative Smith, you're recognized for a question.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Representative Mariano. I'm hoping you can educate me just on one of the exemptions in the law that's being removed through your bill. On lines 97 to 100, my read is that it seems like some of these exemptions seem important to consumer choice. Allowing for a written prescription to facilitate price shopping between pharmacies. Why do you think an exemption like that is not need, or yeah, why is it not needed? Why are we removing that?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Consumers can still price shop whether or not they have a written prescription or it's electronic. If it automatically gets sent to a pharmacy, they can have it transferred to another pharmacy, or before they have it transferred to that pharmacy, they can sit down with their doctor and figure out where they can get this medication at the lowest price. So we put that in there, but in my opinion, there's still several ways for a consumer to price shop. And once a prescription gets sent, it's not stuck at a certain pharmacy. Their physician can ask it to relocate, or the pharmacy sometimes can send it over to other pharmacies. So really, there's still a method for consumers to price shop, and we want to make sure that they are able to get the lowest cost for their medication as possible.
Okay, any other questions? All right, Representative Mariano, you mentioned you have an amendment. Please present amendment barcode 888671.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The amendment is a technical amendment changing the term subsection to section on line 127.
Thank you. Members, any questions? Any public testimony on the amendment? Seeing none, show the amendment adopted without objection. We are on the bill as amended. Do we have any public testimony on the bill? Thank you. Jake Farmer, Florida Retail Federation.
Florida Retail Federation
ways in support. Joanne Hart, Florida Dental Association. You are recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Good morning, Chair Burton and committee members. I'm Joanne Hart, the Chief Legislative Officer for the Florida Dental Association. Thank you for this opportunity to address the committee regarding some concerns we have with House Bill 1103, which would require all healthcare practitioners, including dentists, to generate and transmit all prescriptions electronically. This legislation would legislate an unfunded mandate on providers and remove their ability to make a business and practice decision that should be at their discretion in how they submit their prescriptions for their patients. Unlike the legislation passed last session, this bill will eliminate a number of exemptions that would allow for either a dentist or a patient to request a written prescription so they can price shop around for the best cost for their prescription. As mentioned, legislation was adopted last session that mandated all providers who maintain an EHR system to prescribe electronically. And dentists who have these systems have to comply with this law actually by February 28, 2020, because their license is being renewed, which is their license renewal date. Our office has been flooded with calls every day on whether or not they will be able to renew their license based on this new mandate for their practice. I've been told by various dentists the several amounts that they've been quoted by the vendors. They're charging up to $500 to start and set up e-prescribing systems in their dental office. In addition to that, a number of the dentists, they're charging $65 per dentist a month for these services in the practice. I understand that there are efforts to streamline processes in healthcare, but not only will this impact the provider, but it could have an effect on the overall cost of healthcare when additional regulation is placed on healthcare professions without regard to the overhead costs to their practice. At this time, the FDA is unable to support this legislation, and we'll work with Representative Mariano to address some concerns, and I do have a meeting with her later.
Thank you. Do we have any questions for Ms. Hart? Representative Smith, you're recognized.
Thank you, Chair Burton, and thank you, Joanne, for your testimony. I'm hoping you can maybe educate me again. I need a lot of educating today, this morning. Walk me through the process of electronic prescribing. If a patient wants to try to find a pharmacy that is offering a better price for their prescription, if we're mandating that is electronically prescribed, What are their options there? Does that mean that they can only go and dispense their medication at a CVS because it was transmitted there and they can't bring it anywhere else? How does that work?
You're recognized.
The way the law is currently written.
If you'd like to answer that question.
Thank you, Chair Burton. And I am not the expert. If there's someone here with the Pharmacy Association or the Board of Pharmacy that could answer that question, but I'm not familiar with how that process would work.
Do we have any other questions? Thank you for coming today. Thank you. Yvonne Fernandez, AARP.
AARP, Waves and Support.
Waves and Support, thank you. Chris Newland, Florida Chapter, American College of Physicians. You are recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And with
respect, we're going to have to oppose this bill for many of the same reasons that Ms. Hart gave. One of the things that taking away the exemptions does do is actually impact the very poorest of the poor, because you no longer will be able to have a volunteer health clinic in which a physician comes in with his prescription pads, sees people on a volunteer basis, and then based upon what he sees, prescribes something. As an example, let's take the third floor medical clinic here. We have a doctor of the day who comes in. He looks at you. If you have sinusitis or something, he may give you a Z-Pak. He cannot do that the way that this bill is currently written, because no longer does he have the exemption for working someplace that does not have an EHR system. And the volunteer health clinic here does not have that kind of system. So that's just a real world problem of why we think that certain of the exemptions need to be maintained. If you do not currently have an EHR, having to get one for a volunteer health clinic would be an extraordinary cost. Thank you.
Thank you. Jared Fowler, American Medical Association. You're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, members of the committee. I also do want to clarify real quickly, I'm with the Florida Medical Association, not with the American Medical Association.
I gave you, kind of a promotion, I guess. I'm sorry
just,
about that.
I just wanted to clarify so no one at the AMA
is part of the AMA. You're recognized. I stand corrected. Florida Medical Association. Yeah,
thank you, Madam Chair. So as you know, and as all the members here know, last year Florida enacted legislation to require physicians to prescribe all of their medications electronically. And this legislation didn't just apply to controlled substances, but to all prescription drugs. And there were limited exceptions provided in the legislation that was passed. And this requirement, which is just now beginning to take effect, is something that represents a significant new regulatory burden that physicians are just now learning to adapt to and become familiar with. Again, fortunately, the legislation agreed upon by the House and Senate last year included several important exemptions to this requirement. The compromise legislation that was passed correctly recognized that there are certain situations where it would be inappropriate to require physicians to prescribe electronically. For instance, current law does not require physicians to prescribe medications electronically if they determine that a patient could benefit from utilizing a paper script in order to price shop for their medications. In addition, current law provides an exception when a physician reasonably determines that e-prescribing would inhibit a patient from obtaining their medication in a timely manner, and that this delay would adversely impact the patient. In other words, current law provides exceptions to allow patients to save money on their drugs and to prevent adverse medical incidents. And this legislation would take those exemptions away. Current law also allows for physicians to obtain a temporary waiver from the state, not to exceed 1 year, due to an economic hardship or other exceptional circumstances. These and the other very limited exceptions to the requirements in the bill under current law serve the best interests of patients and serve the best interests of physicians. It's worth noting, too, that Florida's not alone in having these sort of exemptions to their e-prescribing requirements. Both federal law with respect to the Medicare Part D program that the sponsor referenced and other states that have enacted e-prescribing requirements, such as New York, also provide a similar range of exemptions. We've heard from many physicians around the state who support the exemptions in current law to the e-prescribing mandate. We have heard from countless physicians who tell us that we wish the state would do everything possible to reduce the crushing regulatory burden they face instead of imposing new mandates. We have not heard from a single physician anywhere at any time who has told us that their patients or their practice would be better off if only they were required to prescribe all medications electronically under every single circumstance. In short, we support the exemptions to the e-prescribing mandate under current law, and we hope that the legislature will retain those exemptions, and therefore we have to respectfully oppose this bill.
Thank you. I'm seeing no more public testimony. Members were in debate on the bill. Do we have any debate? Oh, excuse me. Would you mind coming back up? Where'd he go? Mr. Fowler? I missed a hand up on the other side over here. Representative Daniels, you're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just want to ask you a question. You talked about the three exemptions and the one-year exemption for hardship, and then the patient being hindered from getting timely medicine needed. What was the other one, please?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And thank you for your question. Yes, so the other exemption that I mentioned was the price shopping exemption. A physician may issue a paper script if they believe that a patient would be served by being able to price shop for their medications using a paper script.
Thank you.
Thank you. Before you leave, are there any more questions? All right. Representative Beltran, you're recognized for a question.
So forgive me, I just want to understand that. I've never price shopped. They just call it into Publix and I go. But if you do want to price shop, couldn't we do that electronically? Couldn't they send you an email? Or how do you, first of all, how do you put the paper in? You scan it and you go online? Or how does that work? And why couldn't we do it with electronic prescribing? I don't understand that part.
You're recognized.
Madam Chair, thank you. And thank you for your question. So it's true that you can price shop using an electronic prescription, but the way it works, practically speaking, in most circumstances, is that the physician would submit the electronic prescription to a pharmacy of the patient's choice. But if it turned out later that that pharmacy didn't have the lowest price and that the patient would be served by going to another pharmacy, they'd have to then call that pharmacy up and then request that call their provider up and request that the prescription be transferred. And, you know, that involves making phone calls and going through a process, whereas if you have a paper script, you can take the paper script home, you can easily go online, look up the pharmacy that has the lowest price, and then simply take it to that pharmacy. And you can do that on your own time, you know, so you have the ability then to spend more time researching and looking around. And that way you can, you know, just have more of an opportunity to price shop in a manner that's more convenient to the consumer. It is not impossible to price shop with an electronic prescription, but it is more of an inconvenience to the consumer. And ultimately, when it comes to price shopping, we believe that it should be as easy as possible.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Members, we're in debate. Would anybody like to debate on the bill? Do we have any debate? Representative Stark, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I do want to thank Representative Mariano for bringing this bill last year. I mean, was totally in agreement with that. I've got, you know, some reservations on this. Doesn't mean that throughout the process, I mean, I'm not going to vote for this today, but that doesn't mean somewhere along the process, you know, I won't, depending on, you know, how this morphs in other committees. But also, I did want to let, you know, there's somebody in the audience from AARP, and I happen to be authorized with AARP, and I can tell you that many of the seniors, especially the people above either age 75 or 80, are very nervous about electronic prescribing. You're talking about a group that still want to see things done the old way. That makes them a lot more comfortable. So just want you to think about that. Also, in answer to your question, when you're on a health insurance plan, you usually have copays, and you have pharmacies that are set up with those plans. So, you know, it might be CVS, Publix, and two or three others. That's who's going to give you the best price. Chances are somebody else is not. But sometimes you might be able to do better by not using the copay. Maybe it's cheaper some. So you still need to shop a little bit sometimes. So hopefully that answers you a little bit. Also, just one last thing is that the old days where we thought that everybody, you know, the doctors handwrite everything. Sometimes today the non-electronic prescribing is actually just typing up the prescription and you go somewhere. And that's, you know, because nobody could ever read those doctors' handwriting anyway. I appreciate that you're bringing this bill. And I know electronic prescribing is basically there. That's what happens with most prescriptions. But there just needs to be just a few of those exceptions that you had in there. And that's the only reason I'm down on this bill.
Representative Smith, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Representative Mariano. I, too, have some concerns specifically with the exemption that allows for the patient to get the written prescription, the handwritten prescription, so that they can price shop. Now, I understand, based on this dialogue that we've had, that they still have that flexibility with an e-prescription, but they would have to essentially pry that e-prescription away from the pharmacy, which is another step. It's not impossible. But then they have to call them. Then they have to talk to a human. There's just more, in my opinion, unnecessary steps. And what I was thinking about through this conversation was this new commercial that came up where the mother is with her kids picking up the pharmacy prescription, and she finds out the price, and she's discouraged by the price, and so she says that, you know, she's just going to come back, really just sending the message that she can't afford it. Those interactions really happen, but also adding additional steps to try to get that e-prescription so that they can shop around if they have the time, I think is going to be another burden. And I also want to flag that even though it's not legislation we've yet considered, there is legislation that a lot of us support from Representative Toledo around PBMs that I think could interact with this bill in some way. And so I just want to flag that as something that we should also be having a conversation about. But unfortunately, I'm going to be down on this bill for now. And also congratulations, Representative Mariano, on your engagement.
Thank you.
Do we have any? Okay. Do we have any other? That is not debatable. Do we have any other? Representative Sullivan, you recognize.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'll be up on the bill, but I just want to offer a counter perspective because I have had. I prefer the e-prescribe personally. Sometimes my physician has done e-prescribe. Sometimes I've gotten a paper one. It's always harder to keep up with the paper one. But what I would say is that I've had to shop around for prices before, and I've actually been really surprised by how quickly I can get someone on the phone when I call a pharmacy, whether it's Publix or CVS or Walgreens or even local places. And no, I don't tell them that I'm a state representative when I'm calling. But you just ask for the pharmacy worker on hand, and they'll pick up the phone. You give them your name, or you ask for the prescription, you ask for the price, and it relatively very quick, within 2 or 3 minutes. And so in a span of 30 minutes, you can call 5 different places, never having to have left your home. And then whatever you decide on, wherever the doctor originally prescribed it, they can call that pharmacy, and pharmacists talk to each other and transfer it. So I understand it may be new. I understand that it may be different, but I do think it still can be very efficient and still cost effective. And that has been my personal experience.
Thank you. Representative Beltran, you recognize.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just want to, I guess, provide a little bit of a different perspective. I guess, first of all, I've never heard the argument before. We've been doing things online and kind of morphing into the digital age for basically the whole time I've been doing any kind of business at all, including as a teenager. And I've never heard the argument that doing things electronically reduces price transparency, reduces the ability to shop, reduces consumer options. And I don't think that's applicable here. I think if we look at the method of maybe prescribing, maybe they're sending out the prescription too early. Maybe they should give you something like one of those barcodes on your cell phone or something like that. They could copy you on it when they send it to the pharmacy. There's all sorts of things in the electronic system where you can check, make sure they're not filling the prescription twice. So that's just a failure. If to the extent there's a problem, that would just be a failure of the methods we're using. And I don't think we need the state legislature telling folks how to figure this out. We're going to authorize and perhaps mandate the electronic prescribing, and that's fine. The other thing, though, is with the paper copies. I would be, for every senior who's terrified of the electronic prescribing, there's some guy like me who's just going to lose a piece of paper. And I say to the doctors, if I go in, I said, don't give me a piece of paper. I'm going to drop it. I'm going to leave it someplace. I'm going to leave it in my office. I might not go today. I might go tomorrow. And then I realize I left it in my office, or it's in my car, or it's at home, and I'm in another county. So, there's that too. So I just wanted to offer that. Thank you.
Thank you. Do we have any additional members in debate? Representative Bell, you're recognized.
Okay, thank you, Madam Chair. The one reservation I would have would be the volunteers in medicine. We have several in our rural counties with Hardy and DeSoto. So I'm going to be up on the bill. However, I will get with you and try to maybe see what we can work out with the cost, because, I mean, we're constantly, as constituents, helping out these volunteer in medicine. And so that would be a concern. But I'm like with the rest of you. It's so easy for them to, you know, electronically call my prescription in and I go pick it up. I don't have to go take it and give it to someone and then wait around 15 minutes or 24 hours. But thank you for presenting the bill.
Representative Daniels, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you so much, Madam Chair. Thank you, Representative Marion, for presenting this bill. I agree that morphing into the electric age has happened, and this is a good thing, but why does it have to be just that? So I'm a senior, and sometimes I have a problem getting around on the internet. And all the exemptions that we have, I think that they're very important to some people that I've talked to about this. And I'm going to be down on this, but we can talk about it a little bit later, okay?
All right, members, any further debate on the bill? Representative Brown, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Representative Marano, for bringing this bill forward. I think, you know, just what we have seen in the conversation around this table is that everyone's perspective or experience are different. I had concerns with this bill last year, more importantly, because I represent an area that's a tourist area. When you are looking at folks that are coming out of town, that are going to urgent cares, we do have several incidents where we have visitors who still need medical care while they're in our area. As we know, many of the pharmacies that we have here, when you travel to other areas, those same ones are not the same. So it's important, especially if you're not familiar with the physician that you're seeing in that particular time, you know, for whatever reason, if they are filling the prescription here in our area, they may not know necessarily where that location could be, or if they want a price shop, or if it's something that they're taking because they're on their way out back home on a flight. So these are perspectives and various examples that to me gives me reservation, and also as the reason why I was down last year. It is my hope that we look at putting many of those exemptions in, but also, again, looking at everyone's perspective and what's more convenient for each individual versus the mass. And that will be, and with that, I'll close, and I'll be down on the bill today.
Thank you. Any members in further debate? No. Representative Mariano, would you like to close on your bill?
Yes, Madam Chair, thank you. And I'm so glad every person on the committee got their 2 cents in. you know, I really think there's been a few fallacies that have come into play here, especially with the price shopping. I mean, Representative Sullivan mentioned her experience, and I personally had an experience. I went to one pharmacy, and it was electronically sent there. I get there, it's $200, and I'm like, yeah, I'm not paying that. And I get sent to another pharmacy, and it's $30. And it was very easy. I got there, got in, got out. I didn't have to call my doctor. I didn't have to, you know, run to one to the other. They called, they sent it over. It was a very easy and simple process and made my life extremely easy. And so, you know, this is for, it's to help consumers make their lives more efficient, make the process more transparent for providers and for pharmacists, where everyone is doing the same thing. It'll really help, you know, reduce the costs and help empower the patients. It's an effective tool to minimize illegal prescribing of controlled substances and will play a critical role on the ongoing battle we have with abuse here in the state of Florida. So I would really appreciate your support on this bill.
Thank you. Erin, please call the roll on House Bill 1103.
Representatives Bell?
Yes.
Beltran?
Yes.
Brown?
No.
Daniels?
No.
Davis? Maggard?
Yes.
Mariano?
Yes.
Plasencia? Rodriguez?
Yes.
Schoof?
Yes.
Smith?
No.
Stark?
No.
Sullivan?
Yes.
Yarborough?
Yes.
Chair Burton?
Yes.
The bill is reported favorably, Madam Chair.
Thank you, members. Congratulations. Show the bill reported favorably as amended. Okay, members. We are now on House Bill 955.